Instacart is on a mission to have you not leave the couch this basketball season. Because between the pregame rituals and the postgame interviews, it can be difficult to find time for everything else. So let Instacart take care of your game day snacks or weekly restocks and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Because we hear it's bad luck to be hungry on game day. So download the Instacart app today and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants. Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, PSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Nobody in Kansas City has sports like 96.5 The Fan.
Right side throw, touchdown! Kansas City, a three-yard touchdown pass in overtime. Kansas City wins the game.
Welcome into The Drive with Carrington Harrison.
Back-to-back best sports talk host as voted on in the Pitch magazine.
Live from the Fan Studios, here's CDOT.
Well, Rob, I lied. CDOT is not back today. He'll be back tomorrow. Jay Binkley, Rob Brinton with you. Text line, of course, as always, 913-586-7965. The Jay Southland Tow Service text line ready for your use. It's also the phone line as well. We'll talk draft with Thor Nystrom coming up at 2:15 to get your draft fix. I know I joined Cody and Gold at 1 o'clock. That'll do each and every Wednesday leading up to the draft. And with you guys sometimes as well, before and after the draft. And, of course, our big draft party on the 24th from the Landing in Liberty. That's going to be a ton of fun. We'll get more details on that later. What's up, Rob? Yesterday we talked about this is a two-horse race. You willing to concede it's not a two-horse race? Royals find a way to win. Beat an ace of the Twins. They win the game. Detroit's won, what, six in a row at this point? They're about to sweep the Yankees. They're playing right now. I think it's scoreless in the sixth, last time I checked. But, yeah, I still see it as a two-horse race for these teams. And the Royals' pitching staff is absolutely ridiculous. What Cole Reagans is doing is off the charts. You know, hitting 11 strikeouts from the left-hand side. Only five other lefties actually have more in Kansas City Royals history since he's been here. He passed the great Danny Duffy. Cole Reagans, a stud. I know we laughed about Chris Bubich being the ace of the staff, which he's not. It's Cole Reagans. But everybody's good. Lorenzen's been good. Bubich has been good. Now let's just get the offense to turn that corner. But Detroit's still doing Detroit things, and I do still think it's Detroit in Kansas City. I know the text line really liked Cleveland and thought I was slighting them. They beat the Royals two out of three games early on. That's fine. They got a hit. Yesterday, they were in a nice 1-0 game with the White Sox, who, by the way, are pitching better. There's only a three-hitter from Cleveland on their opening day in Cleveland. The last team to have an opening day in Major League Baseball was Cleveland. Yesterday, they barely beat the White Sox. Again, I think the White Sox will be better. They're not going to be great, but they're going to be better than the 12 wins the Royals put on them last year, and they got to find a way, a team to kind of bully around, like they can do with the Minnesota Twins. Again, you look at Cleveland, what they did. Carlos Santana actually had a couple hits. Ramirez just won. But really, that team's a two-horse team. It's Kwan. That's not a power hitter. He's an on-base guy and a gold glover and defensively. He's good. And Ramirez, that's it. You pitch around him. But the Kansas City Royals absolutely love what they've been doing. And how about the pitching coach? Everybody's always got a problem with that. But Brian Sweeney has been amazing from this pitching staff as well. What, 10 games now with teams, players throwing at least 11 strikeouts and no walks? In the history of the organization over 50 years, it's only happened 20 times. 10 times has been on his watch in the last 2 years. That is incredible stuff, what they're doing right in front of us from the pitching staff perspective. for the Kansas City Royals. Brenton, you were at the game last night, weren't you? Were you out there enjoying it as a fan?
I was out there enjoying it as working? A fan. I was out there enjoying it as a fan, watching Cole Reagans absolutely mow down Twinkies inning after inning after inning. Yeah, I was out there.
It was a good pitching performance all around for both teams. But again, guess who won? The Kansas City Royals. Do they need to score more runs? Absolutely. You'd like to see the power back in effect. And by the way, Jack Caglione, what, hit another monster shot yesterday? We talked about him a little bit yesterday. When are you going to see him in Kansas City? Not going to be in the outfield, probably. Could he be DH or first winning to get the at-bats? I mean, it's one thing if Jack comes up here, you want the at-bats. But he put on Instagram yesterday, which someone forwarded over on X, three bats that were the torpedo bat. I happened to show you that before the show today. What do you think about that? If indeed he's using a torpedo bat, which why not? It's legal. Go ahead and use it. I mean, he is absolutely tattooing the baseball.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what to think about. I mean, it could be he just got torpedo bats. It could be someone in the, you know, dugout has torpedo bats. Like, I think an Instagram post is a little bit jump to conclusion-y, but, I mean, it's a legal bat, so why not? Go crazy.
Why would he show a picture of them? You know what I'm saying?
It's a great question.
Why would he show it? I never heard your discussion on those. It is funny. People used them last year. Giancarlo Stanton used them last year in the playoffs, the torpedo bat. And now he's out, of course, because of the bat and the swing, but he hasn't necessarily said it's because of that. And the guy that designed them is what, with Tampa now? Or the Marlins, excuse me. He's moved on to the Marlins, the guy that designed it for the Yankees. And Aaron Judge is off to a great year. He doesn't use the torpedo bat, but guys have been, you know, inquiring about it. They've been looking at it, see what's going on with the torpedo bat. Might as well use it. I know Kramer that works here. He used to be over on this side. He does a lot of stuff over on the Wolf now, producing in the mornings. He's in a wood bat league. He's going to torpedo bat as well. I mean, you use what you can use. And if you can swing it, do it, man. But these baseballs are actually crushed from Jack. I mean, it is fun to watch. Whether he comes up here, I mean, in outfield, that's fine. It could be a pipe dream. Defensively, not great in the outfield at this point. Melinda has been good. Not good at the plate, but good defensively. But where are they going to put him? First base, DH, what's he going to do? Not sure, but yes, it's fun to see what Jack's doing every night. It's fun, once again, to check the minor league box scores for the Kansas City Royals. I mean, the last time you might have been doing it, obviously, was Bobby Witt Jr. The time before that, you're looking to see what Hosmer and Moose and everybody, Perez, and everybody was doing in the minor leagues or when they made that deal and Kane was down in AAA with Omaha. Maybe you followed in on it and watched it, what they're doing. But this pitching staff has been nothing short of remarkable from what you want. I mean, the whole thing. With the bullpen, the starting pitching, everything's been fine for the Royals. And I will contend, this is the Royals and the Tigers. By the way, the Tigers down 2-0 now to the Yankees. Top of the eighth, Tigers home. But they've beaten the Yankees twice. So this is the third game, so they've already won that series against the Yankees. But the Tigers, 7-4. They lose today, they go to 7-5. Obviously, it's going to be a two-horse race from the Royals and the Tigers. But right now, I mean, are they not doing everything you want for the Kansas City Royals? They're a fun team to watch. They are actually must-see TV again. I remember in 14 and 15, people used to watch it, like, religiously. They'd watch it in 14. Even 13, people started to watch it. But then in 16, people had it kind of as background, but it was still on. But they went home at night, and they couldn't wait to sit there and watch the Royals once again, or listen to the Royals if that's what you choose to do. Either way, people are consuming the Kansas City Royals. Haven't seen the complaints. People have found a way to watch them on TV now with FanDuel or whether they're doing it on Amazon. Whichever way they're doing it, they're finding a way to watch the Royals. And then you got guys like Mark DeRosa and everybody else at MLB Network talking about the Royals and liking them to have the second best record in the American League. It's fun. I don't know if you've watched the MLB Big Inning. They've done it for the last couple of years, but they seem to be doing a lot more. It's kind of like a Red Zone. They have four games on at once on MLB Network. That's a lot of fun to watch. They'll usually have the Royals in one of their boxes. They usually have four games up at once, and they'll go to which game's good or not. But the Big Inning from MLB Network is fantastic. If you're a huge fan of what NFL Red Zone is, I think you'd like MLB Big Inning because it is a lot of fun to watch. Royals are a fun team to watch. And I cannot wait for the Royals to play the Tigers. The 13 games against the Tigers, I think, satisfy and settle what this division's all about. But man, is it not nice having a guy like Cole Reagans? Is it not nice having a guy like that to go out and watch and mow down hitters? I'm sure you were sitting there. I mean, it was two aces going at it with the Twins and the Royals. And it was fun to watch. And, of course, you're out there watching. Did you go because of Cole Reagans or did it matter? Did it matter, Rob?
It lined up that way.
Okay.
Like, it was not, you know, I did not try to build the schedule to be like, oh, I'm going to see Cole Reagans. It worked out very nicely because I did like seeing Cole Reagans. And, you know, you mentioned those 14 and 15 teams. It is nice to see Cole Reagans because even when the Royals were great in 14 and 15, and I guess they were just good in 14 but great in 15, they never had a starter like a Cole Reagans, an absolutely dominant, I can go stop a drought, I can start a winning streak just by himself type of guy. I mean, I don't know we have seen a pitcher to his quality in Kansas City since Greinke Cy Young year. Like, he has that type of stuff. And being out there last night, by the time I got in my seat after the show, went home, got, you know, settled, he already had three strikeouts, and I had sat down and just popped my first beer. Like, it is truly dominant stuff to watch him out there. He is, by every definition, an ace. He's not a top-of-the-rotation guy. He's not an ace because he's the Royals' number one. He is an ace because he is that dude.
Yeah, we've seen that so many times with the Royals. Well, they might be an ace in Kansas City, but would it be an ace in other places? He truly is. He's special. He's fun to watch. And with his nice win yesterday, 2-1, I know a lot of people like seeing the high-scoring games. I'm good with 2-1. I mean, I'm good with the 6-3 or 9-3 game in the NFL. It means defense has showed up in the game. Yeah, we'd like to see more power and stuff like that. It's fun on your X timeline seeing some Jack bombs because he's like crushing the baseball, and it's fun to watch. But again, like JJ said, keep in mind who's pitching, who's throwing to you. But I think it translates. I think it's going to translate. I cannot wait till this guy gets to the major leagues. I'll be honest with you, I cannot wait until he gets up here. I mean, I would like to see it going to kind of coincide with Sal Perez hitting the bombs. Obviously, it's going to coincide with Bobby Witt Jr. doing his deal. But will it give Bobby a race every year to be the home run champion for the Royals eventually? We can table that talk just a little bit, but it is fun to watch and fun on the horizon for the Kansas City Royals to have stars in the game. Two of the top four pitchers in the Cy Young last year were Kansas City Royals. That's insane. Two starters in the All-Star game. You don't see that very often with the Royals, but it's fun to watch, especially teams that, you know, aren't spending anything. Like, what's going on in St. Louis? People mad at the organization. They're not going to the games. It's usually, quote, baseball city, but they didn't add anybody, and they're pissed. There's probably a lot of St. Louis fans, honestly, that are Royals fans at this point. Remember the whole state of Missouri was kind of migrating towards the Cardinals? Like, no matter where you went, it was people liking the St. Louis Cardinals. The Royals is a fun team to watch, man. Cool uniforms, the whole deal. They've already gravitated toward the Chiefs, obviously. I mean, they still got the Blues over in St. Louis, but it's really weird to see St. Louis not being this, quote, baseball city like they used to be with the way that organization's going. So I digress, but the Royals, Vernier comes on tonight. Vern at 5:30 once again will be off as the Royals and Twins go tonight with the Royals a couple wins over the Twins so far. And again, just keep beating the Twins down. It's a home series. Take advantage of it. You got to find those wins somewhere for the Royals, like the 12 against the White Sox last year. Again, I think the White Sox are pitching good enough that it won't be 12 wins against them this year. Will they win 7 or 8? Very good possibility. They will. 12, be hard to see that. But coming up next, we'll talk NFL draft. Thor Nystrom, one of the best guys in the industry regarding the NFL draft, because I know a lot of you still have a lot of questions regarding that. We'll talk to Thor next.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and, for shoppers, buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Looking to improve your diet in the new year? Try seeing a personal dietitian with Nourish. Nourish has hundreds of dietitians who specialize in a variety of health concerns, including weight loss, gut health, and more. Meet with your dietitian online and message them anytime through the Nourish app. Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your personal dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
And welcome back to The Drive. Jay Binkley, Rob Brinton producing the operation. Joining us now, a guy that I love talking draft with. One of the best guys out there, to be honest with you. Does his stuff on Fantasy Life, at MB Fantasy Life. And if you can follow him on Twitter, at ThorKU, also a KU guy as well. What's up, Thor?
How you doing, Jay?
Hey, it's going well, my friend. We're getting closer and closer to the draft. I see you put out your 2-round mock draft the other day. You've been busy and dialed in to what the NFL draft is. Did you see the latest? Did you happen to see what, like, Kiper and Prisco and these dudes put out yesterday?
Tell me.
Well, it seems that Travis Hunter is starting to really gain that traction in number two. And I like that pick for the Browns. Looks like he's going to play wide receiver in the National Football League. I think it'd be a big mistake if teams didn't go that direction. But he is the odds-on favorite to go number two now to the Browns.
Yeah, so when I had that one in my mock, I'm hearing similar things. I got a bit more of a scandalous take with the Browns, which you might have seen if you've seen the 2-round mock. But
yep.
I've been hearing since the combine, and when I first heard this, I was like, no way. So I'm just going to preface by saying that. But I've been hearing since the combine, keep an eye on the Browns if Shedeur Sanders falls, to keep him with Travis Hunter at the next level. The idea, pop Hunter at 2. And then again, if the fall comes, the Browns have all kinds of draft ammo in the other rounds. They have the first pick in the second round. They have multiple third round picks, and then they have a cornucopia of picks on day three. Like they have too many picks to even roster all those guys next year. They will be moving, and a trade that would work out if Sanders falls to 15. If you traded your second, your 2/3, and your fourth next year, your 2026. That jives on the trade chart, even with a little bit of a tax for moving up and another little tax for the move up for a quarterback, which usually we see. But keep an eye on that. Just keep this in the back of your mind in 2 weeks from tomorrow. If you start to see Shedeur starting to fall out of the top 10, watch out for the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah, I saw your player comp was Drew Brees with him with Cleveland, and your Travis Hunter was Shohei Ohtani. I love that.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Shedeur Sanders. Obviously more so than a lot of my media brethren. I happen to think that they're wrong because they get lost with the narratives and such like that, and they bring it into their evaluation of his film. Accuracy and placement, of course, are the elite things with him, and I do mean elite. I believe he's the record holder for all-time career completion percentage in college football, but the placement is awesome as well. You see this all over his film. He leads guys into space. He puts some English on the ball to get it away from the defender. He always gives his guy the best of it. He doesn't turn the ball over. I like his pocket presence. I like his ability to make people miss in the pocket. He doesn't bail the pocket. He's always looking to throw. So, yeah, a big fan of his. And then Shohei Ohtani with Travis Hunter. I mean, there's no one last 20 years that you can point to where it's 1-1. Travis Hunter would be my CB1 in this class. If he was just a cornerback, he would be my wide receiver one in this class. If he was just a wide receiver. So I'm just going to call him Unicorn One.
Yeah, he's a great talent. I mean, he's a unicorn, like you say. That's what he is. But as far as the Chiefs, you have really one of my draft crushes on this at 31, and that's Derek Harmon. You had him at 31, at 63, at Ursary, the tackle from Minnesota, which you've seen firsthand up there. A guy that's from Kansas City, from Ruskin High School, as a matter of fact. But Derek Harmon will start with that. I love him at the three technique. I think he'd fall great with the Chiefs. We've done mock drafts. We did Nick Skorton the first time we did it. The second time we went Luther Burden because he was still there. And we had a great debate between do we go Derek Harmon, who happened to still be available. I don't think he will be. I think he will be earlier in the 20s. But we had the debate, Derek Harmon or Luther Burden. And we ended up going Luther Burden because of the offense. But Derek Harmon on the defensive line, that's my dude if he's available.
Yeah, and we'll see if he ends up getting there, like you're mentioning, but I think there is a shot because of the depth of the interior defensive line class, and that might sort of, in a small way, artificially suppress the slots that, of some of those first-round guys, you know, because of the depth of that class. Could that push a Harmon down to 31? But I'm with you, man. I love his game. It's a guy who, earlier in his career at Michigan State, you know, he was from the area. I think he's from Detroit.
Yeah,
he went to Michigan State, and he played at a bigger size. You know, he was between 320 and 330 there. Last season, he goes to Oregon. He cut down to 310. That's where he became that havoc-wreaking three technique like you're talking about. You know, before it was like the more well-fortified thing. There was some responsibilities of holding offensive linemen and stuff. He gets down to the smaller weight. He obviously was moving around better, and then they sort of let him off the leash to go and hunt. And he led the nation in tackles for loss. So is or hurries. I'm sorry, but yeah, like from the interior defensive line position. So a very active guy, and you also have that potential of a little bit of versatility up and down the line, and also a guy that could put on weight if you wanted him to. But you keep him at 310. We know what that looks like. We saw it last year. He was dominant.
Yeah, it'd be great to have a guy like Chris Jones there with you too, because he is willing to teach players, and he's never shied away from kind of being that instructor on the defensive line. Where would you put the defensive line and edge? Like, what would you say are your top 2 to 3 position groups that'll be in the draft?
Running back would be one for sure.
That's one.
Interior defensive line would be two for sure. Edge would be up there. I'm trying to think through real quick. You know what? I like this tight end class maybe more than some others. I might put tight end 3, but edge would maybe be 4 then.
Daniel Jeremiah put out a tweet earlier, and he said, I've talked to several GMs and head coaches over the last week, and everyone seems to agree. This draft is a starter draft. Maybe not a ton of star power, but your goal should be to come away with 3 or 4 solid starters. Is he on to something there? Do you really see the star power in the first round, or is Daniel Jeremiah right that it kind of yields a lot of starters?
I think he's right in general. And then you also have like the less flashy guys as well, right? Like the quarterback and the receiver positions are the ones that are down in this class. But like, yeah, overall, you know, it's like, you know, usually you have a top 8 pick and you're feeling pretty good that you're going to get a superstar. This class, it's not quite as top heavy. I'm a fan of Travis Hunter and Abdul Carter. But, you know, everyone outside of that, there's at least some sort of question on their evaluation. But the sweet spot of this draft, it's more like the, you know, 20 to, you know, 50 range, you know, so somewhere in there. Like, I would want more picks the late first and then in the second there. That's sort of the power alley of this one. That's speaking to what Jeremiah is talking about, that the depth of it. And the depth makes sense because this is one of our, I believe, the last COVID year. Also, there might be a few stragglers the next one, but the kids are getting ejected from college that took the extra year, 2020. So now this class, you're it's a bulkier class. There's just literally more human beings in it, and you're going to get better depth because of that.
Is there a problem you think that you've seen with, because I've talked about, you know, the combine, guys are cherry picking what they do, they'll do the vertical, maybe not the broad, or they won't run the 40, or it'll be like an Austin Gente that goes and does his pro day, but he doesn't do any of the time things. He runs through some pylons and some bags, but that's it. Is there a difference? Because I know that Jim Nagy's leaving the Senior Bowl and he's going to be with Oklahoma, and he's talked about the lack of depth from the fifth round on. Are guys taking that nil? So is it more beneficial to be a pro nowadays with name, image, and likeness, or are guys going back to school and so they're more pro ready and they'll really improve their draft stock? Because I see it both ways. Because then I look at a guy like Xavier Restrepo, the wide receiver out of Miami that played with Cam Ward, that he's the all-time leader in catches and yards for Miami. And there's been some good receivers coming out there, but he runs, you know, in the 4.7s and a 4.8 as far as the 40, and really cost himself in the draft. But what are you kind of seeing here? Are guys more ready for the NFL now than they used to be?
Yes. And I think NIL is one of the best things to ever happen to the sport of football. It changed, it's because the offshoots of it and the thing you're talking about, you get more, the players going into the draft are now older and they're more developed. And thus it's, you know, the picture on their evaluation, it's a little bit less hazy. And I know that pro evaluators like it for that reason. You know, it's less projection. The more snaps you've seen of a kid, the older he is, the clearer that picture is for you, and the less as the evaluator that you're going to miss, right? Like your odds are going to go a little bit up of at least being correct on your evaluation. That give, like the thing of the giving the kids money in college, that, you know, and the transfers and stuff. I know people. Some people complain about that, but it you know, again, one of the unintended benefits of this is it incentivizes guys to stay in school, whereas in the past you would see them jump into the draft because their financial situation at home, even if they weren't ready for it. And so you'd see a lot of guys wash out. Bo Nix would be a great example of a guy who, you know, a decade ago, he would have gone out the year before that and he would have been like a fifth round pick. But then because of the NIL, he goes back for a final season at Oregon. He works himself up to being a top 12 pick, and then he could start right away. And obviously he had success. And you see this with a bunch of different guys where they were able to stay because the money that they got from their NIL collective, it was commensurate to what you could project to get year one in the NFL. And then you can also project that when you go to the NFL the next year, that you'll be drafted higher. So it's just something that works out for all sides. And like I said, I think it's an awesome thing for the sport of football overall.
We're talking to Thor Nystrom, and check him out at ThorKU on Twitter. He does great stuff for Fantasy Life, his two-round mock. He kind of rates the different position groups and who he likes and who he doesn't. Let's talk about one of those position groups and a guy that you mocked to the Chiefs, Ursary. Out of University of Minnesota, obviously you've seen him firsthand. You've got to go to some of his games. Big dude, 6'6", 331 pounds, but he's under that 34-inch arm length. Andy Reid, you know, has been synonymous for only drafting guys, you know, with 34 and a quarter inch arms, which do matter, although he did break that, though, because he signed Jalen Moore from Frisco, who's a big dude, but he breaks that mold. He's 33 3/8 inch arms. So he didn't have that, quote, 34-inch arms. And this is kind of a shorter arm tackle draft. And even though Ursary's a big dude, a Kansas City dude, but he's sitting there, what, 33 3/8 arms. But you happen to really like what he brings to the table.
Yeah, I definitely do. And I think he's got a shot to hang at right tackle at the next level. But with him, you get the extra bullets of, I'm pretty sure he's going to be a really good guard, even if he can't. Right. So you get the multiple bullets on that developmental line there. But yeah, with him, the game, it's a dichotomy of power and then light feet. That's what you got. He got to keep working on his technique that, you know, I'll grant you that, but like he has Herculean power. And again, those light feet, it's why he's so good in zone. He can get out there to the second level and pick off the linebackers. He can go and hit the outside shoulder, hit the spot where some other offensive tackles can't do that. Power player, good feet. Just keep working on that technique. But, yeah, he's going to probably go in the latter half of the second round because of some of those things that need a little bit of refinement. But I think it's a cool ball of clay who's already doing good stuff, right? Like, and he already has a couple of these superpowers. It's a guy who could play up at the next level. You improve that technique. So and maybe Kansas City would view him as an inside convert, but certainly Kansas City could use some help there too.
And Jalen Moore, a former fifth round pick. He played with Sky Moore at Western Michigan, took some seasoning in the National Football League. The bottom line is, where the Chiefs sit, A, do you see a team that would be willing to trade up to 31? Would there be a type of player that could maybe slide, like a Luther Burden, or a team would say, hey, we need to move up to 31, or Harmon, and the Chiefs pass on him to try to get more draft picks? It's clearly that's usually a quarterback slot if someone's going to trade back. Like, what do you see? And then when you look at this offensive line group as a whole, do you really look at it as players that could come in and help the Chiefs on day one?
There's certainly a couple, especially if you went interior. Zabo, Donovan Jackson, Booker, those guys can all play right away. Ursary potentially, and then some of the guys that go above there. Kelvin Banks, if he fell down there, there's debate about whether he's a guard or a tackle. I think he can hang a tackle, but there's some people that disagree with me on that. But
yeah, some have him going anywhere from 15 to not in the first round.
He's got a big band of outcomes because the thing with him is people, they disagree on what he is. To me, that's more I have more of those questions about Will Campbell. In fact, I'll go this far. I do not believe that Will Campbell can play tackle at the next level.
Do you believe his arms really grew an inch on his pro day from the combine?
I do not. No, I do not. And we have data on this. Guys with that length of arm, especially a left tackle, we just don't have any data supporting that guy can hang with that. So, like, I do think he's going to be a good guard at the next level. But yeah, Kelvin Banks, he's on the wrong end of that debate. I don't know why everyone forgets that or overlooks it with Campbell, but they give it. Kelvin Banks has like 6-inch longer wingspan or something like that, 5 than Will Campbell. But I like him. But if he does end up falling to the late first round, that would be a tremendous pick for Kansas City, in my opinion.
You know, another thing is, we'll get to the wide receivers in a second because we do have the Chiefs going 2 receivers in this draft, and I think there's a reason. One thing I like is the Chiefs, the closest of picks from 63 and 66, right there in that kind of hot zone, as Veach has called it in the past. You know, they're 2 premium picks they have there coming pretty close together. But this running back class, you obviously like the running back class. I feel that they should draft a running back all along. I know that they go out and sign Elijah Mitchell. It's that speed he has, the 4.32 speed that he has combined, but health issues. They bring back Kareem Hunt. But this is a draft. If they don't draft a running back, I would say at least in the top 4 rounds, it's a mistake.
Totally agree. Yeah, and with Kansas City having those, it's the 3 day 2 picks, correct?
Yeah, they have 63 and 66. It's boom, boom.
Yeah, you're sitting right in that power alley for those running backs. And, you know, could Caleb Johnson get down there? I sort of doubt it, but that would be fun because I think I mentioned this last time I was on. I come from the Larry Johnson, so he sort of evoked that for the Kansas City fans. But, you know, if not, you're going to see the parade of running backs going around that range. And not only that, you have the extra bullets to do it. You also have the bullets to maneuver, right? Like, you know, first round, depending on the way it goes, you potentially trade down. If you wanted to use your first pick at top of the second round on a running back, that would be a decent spot. But, you know, again, you could also do either of those 2/3. You could trade down in the third. You know, if for instance, keep Devin Neal home, right? That's a guy probably going to go latter half of the third or early fourth round, or DJ Giddens. You go, a little bit over to the Little Apple there. Sorry, Kansas State fans. I'm a Rock Shocker, so I had to say that. But but yeah, like there's going to be all kinds of options for you there. So I would advocate for the same thing that you do. I think the Chiefs absolutely should take a running back, and I think they will.
Do you like Devin Neal or Giddens, DJ Giddens at Kansas State? Take your KU stuff, your blinders off there. If both are sitting right there, which one do you like better?
I have them basically right next to each other on my board. I do lean Devin Neal slightly, but they're different kinds of players. You're going to get more passing game utility out of Devin Neal than you are with DJ Giddens. But and Neal has also improved quite a bit as a pass blocker, so he can stay out there on the field. He's going to be a good receiver at the next level. Whereas DJ Giddens, he's just a really good pure runner. You know, it's the angular. He's a tall kid, and he runs angular, but he's just so smooth. His movements are so smooth. And I think that's why he surprised some of us with how well he tested. He tested insane in Indianapolis. And
a home run guy. Like on,
yeah, that's it. Like it's like he does it, you know, when he's in the open field, it's one of those guys where he's moving faster than he appears to be. You have the long stride thing. He's not chugging the arms, you know, like some of those smaller guys, whatever. And he's just a smooth glider. I like his vision. I like his ability to hit the cutback lane. I comp him to Zach Charbonnet from a couple class ago. It's another guy that, you know, very similar frame, very similar athleticism. It was another tall runner that ran sort of angular and had good vision and could hit that cutback lane. So I like DJ Gins. It's just you're not going to get as much value out of him in the passing game.
The two we've gone so far at this point, Dylan Sampson, huge Dylan Sampson guy, the SEC Offensive Player of the Year at Tennessee. And this year we kind of went around further back. We went Tootin, Basile Tootin out of Virginia Tech that a lot of people like. I like him too because I like his speed, obviously. But is a guy, too, that can be in the return game as well. And with them placing the ball at the 35, it becomes more of a premium to return kicks.
For sure, yeah. And it's funny. My comp for Basile Tootin is Isaiah Pacheco.
Oh, really?
I see so many similarities with those guys. It's the same. It's the breakneck speed, but it's also the breakneck style, right, where it's just you're shot out of a gun. And sometimes I'm wondering, like, Bayshell, do you know where you're going? Because it's he's just going so fast. It's just, like, kinetic. But, you know, he has that ability to hit the home runs, and he does hit the home runs. Just a tremendous athlete. Got to tighten some things up there. Ball security is a big one. Five fumbles last year.
That's
and
huge.
You're wondering, yeah, like, is it ball security or we would prefer it be ball security because the other explanation for it is that kid doesn't have good hands. At Virginia Tech, they started using him less as a receiver as time went on, which is a little bit scary. When he does catch the ball, it's the same thing. When he's in space, you got a shot to see a dinger. But, like, obviously he needs to clean that up. And in your evaluation, the Chiefs are going to have to get to the bottom of that. Do we think this is something that's fixable, ball security, or is this endemic to something going forward, a hands thing where it's going to slaughter his value at the next level?
I know he's that speed is obviously sticks out the 4.32, but kick returning, he almost had 29-yard average back in 2023 and a couple touchdowns as well. So it's one of the areas I really like Tootin to be in. We went two wide receivers because obviously in this mock, which it will change, we go Burden and we go Kyle Williams. I really like Kyle Williams. Again, that might be a situation where you pair him up with Cam Ward later on because we see the success teams have pairing that college receiver with that college quarterback that they played with. He didn't play with Cam Ward at Miami, but he played with them at Washington State. But Kyle Williams, one of those receivers that really jumps out to me.
I agree with you on Kyle Williams. You know, obviously in the fall, all I do is watch college football. And I seen Kyle Williams, and it was like, oh, he's a smooth operator. I was sleeping on him a little bit, though, because he's on the smaller end. So it's like, you know, how is that going to be? And then how is the athleticism and stuff like that? He tested decent, 6'3", 4". It was enough to 6'3", 4", Raz, I'm sorry, 63rd percentile size adjusted athlete. But, like, it, good enough for his game. Where the thing that he's – it's the smooth thing. Off the line, you're not getting him even at the smaller size. His footwork is so good. He had the best releases at the Senior Bowl. That was the first thing that opened your eye. It's like – because some of those guys, they were almost doing dance routines out there. Someone had a joke on Twitter that it was TikTok releases. You know, some of those guys, it would be like to run a 6-yard route, it took them 5 seconds to get off the line because they were doing all this nonsense with their feet. Kyle Williams, it's just so sudden. It's boom, 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 and he's gone. And so, like, I like that. And then he knows what he's doing as a route runner. You know, he's one of those guys that will toggle the speeds to keep the defensive back off of him. And then the efficiency of the footwork in and out of the route break, it's why he creates the separation. He's efficient. You know, he doesn't drop the ball. It's not a guy that profiles as a superstar, of course, but as a steady Eddie third option in a passing game. Absolutely. Like a chain moving kind of a guy like that. And a guy who we know can create separation. I'm definitely with you on Kyle Williams.
And final question for you, Thor, greatly appreciate your time. But it's the Kansas Jayhawks defensive backs. It's Melo Dotson. It's Kobe Bryant. Melo runs a 4.59, which kind of takes you back a little bit with the speed. Kobe Bryant, 4.53. So, again, speed might be a question with these guys. Maybe more in line for safety if they bulked up a little bit. But your overall impressions of Melo and Kobe as far as where kind of the rounds they would fit in a draft.
Yeah, Kobe Bryant, I really like him. As a guy who considered coming out in the draft the year before, but he was told to bulk up. It's hard, right, with that wiry frame. He's trying the best he can with that, but like I like his game on the field. He has long arms, he's obviously 6 feet as well. You know, it's just, can we add any more weight? But again, very, very feisty player. You see that in coverage. It's difficult to shake him. I love, too, for the more sort of wiry cornerback, that he is happy to come down and help and run defense, right? Like, some of these smaller corners that we have, they don't want any part of that. But Kobe Bryant is aggressive with that. And then Melo Dotson is a guy that opens your eyes when you watch him, too. With him, it just comes down to sort of the thing you're alluding to, which is just over the ocean of data. Obviously, Melo's a skinny guy as well. And then the lack of foot speed, it's like, does he have enough to hang, right? Because he is a skilled player, right? So, like, will the athleticism frame combination, will that be nullifying? If it's not, the skills that we have there are definitely NFL caliber. So, I like his game as well. I have a little bit more questions about his eval than I do about Kobe, but it's definitely a guy I would use a pick on day three.
I tell you what, Thor, greatly appreciate your time. Love you when you come on our draft specials as well. People can follow you on Twitter at ThorKU. It's Thor Nystrom. Does stuff for Fantasy Life. Great stuff. The breakdowns, the mock drafts, why he picks two for teams, kind of the fit that they're in. But you do great stuff, and you watch a hell of a lot of football, and I appreciate all your input on that. Thanks, Thor.
Hey, thanks so much, brother. Rock chalk.
Of course he's got that, Rob. I mean, that's a scary guy. But I asked him to take the blinders off. Take the blinders off. Tell me DJ Giddens or Devin Neal. Which one are you taking?
Devin Neal.
Of course.
He didn't catch the football.
I would go Giddens.
For Kansas City or in general?
Just Kansas City. You going Devin Neal? Because these are both possibilities.
Devin Neal's a better pass catcher.
But DJ, man, that home run ability kind of showcased there towards the end of the year with Kansas State. I don't know, man. But Tootin, yes, that is a problem to drop balls. But he can return kicks. He had two touchdowns 2 years ago, almost a 29-yard average. He's sick. Doesn't punt return, but he does the kickoff returns, and it's fun. But big thanks to Thor Nystrom joining us there. Coming up next, though, minor league football, or professional football, if you want to call the UFL. We'll discuss that next.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for K-State Athletics, 96.5, The Fan. Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing.
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on sports networks. Availability varies by zip code and package. New customers. Service renews monthly unless you cancel. Choice package required. Restrictions apply.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Welcome back, 96.5 The Fan, Jay Binkley, Rob Brinton, Carrington, back tomorrow. I said to be back today and wasn't, but so I lied. Big thanks to Thor Nystrom joining us talking NFL draft. What do you think about the UFL, Rob? You a fan of the XFL that now combined with the UFL? We have the XFL division, four teams. We've got the four teams from the United Football League. Are you a fan of minor league football? Or I guess in some of the places like St. Louis Battlehawks, they consider that
quite simply
no. Real football.
I literally do not care for it at all. And I think viewership being way down shows America doesn't care about it at all.
30% decline from a year ago.
Massive spike. Massive dip. Like, I love college football. I love the NFL. Like, I love football. But you know what? I think we're learning from these spring leagues, there is such thing as too much football, because on April, whatever the weekend would have been, 2nd, 3rd, 4th, no one was watching these games. No one knows anything about these teams. No one cares about what's happening. Like,
unless you're in one of these markets.
And even then, they're not watching. Like, if it's down the massive numbers, it's down 30% 1 year, I would tell you that even people in St. Louis aren't watching at the same rate they used to. People just do not like the idea of spring football. And it feels like every once in a while, someone gets excited about it. The Rock, the XFL, all the stuff. And then we learn pretty quickly it's, man, no one cares to watch quadruple A players play football.
21 players went from the UFL last year to NFL rosters. Now, they're not guys you're going to hear about. And some guys made the team, some didn't. The big practice squad type guys and stuff. Not like made the difference. The only guy I ever saw really make a difference, Rob, but he's been on a million different teams, Donald Parham. Remember him, the tight end from the Chargers? He played for Arlington. Like, he was a member of the Renegades that won in the XFL. He's gone on there in the UFL because they have two different divisions in it. But, hey, the World League of American Football was fun when they did it. I've often thought, okay, if you could allocate some players to the CFL, okay, do it. But, again, a lot of compromise would have to be done with that, like, the 20-yard end zones, the vertical motion, 12 guys on the field. There's a lot of CFL things I don't particularly care about, and I'm sure NFL players don't really care about those either. It is a big-time wide receiver league. But The minor league football system is college football. Make no mistake about it. It's the SEC. It's the Big 12. You know, it's the ACC. You know, that is the minor leagues. Guys are paid now. The NFL won't have to pay them. They don't have to pay their insurance. They have to pay crap. And they draft those players. They end up in that 254 to 258 player pool at the NFL draft, depending on comp picks, on which direction they go. But it's not quite the developmental league people had hoped for. I'll be honest with you, Robbie, if it's on, I will watch it. I'm not a diehard fan of the UFL. I do like some of the things they test. I remember when the XFL first came out with Vince McMahon, there was a lot of things the NFL took and copied, and it made their product better. The camera above hand that floated over the field. There was different technologies they used. They could try things out for the NFL. I mean, the UFL would have been a great place to try out the ball technology. Like this year, they're going to have it digitally tracked whether you got a first down or not. And the chain gang will be secondary. They'll still be there, but it won't be the end-all be-all. But I'll say this, Rob, and I know people have talked about it, and the NFL's, you know, considered it too, and they've done testing on it. Having the chip in the football, especially when you cross the goal line.
Aren't they doing that this year? Didn't they talk about the doing that? And wasn't that one of the rule changes?
It'll be one of the rule changes for that, but not the end-all be. The chain gang will still be there. Here's my problem with that. It's not where the ball lands, but where your foot is, where the ball is. Like you can have your knee down and stretch the ball over the goal line and boom, it goes off the sensor that it crossed the goal line. But if your leg's down, and the ball's down wherever your leg went down. You see what I'm saying? I mean, that to me is a big problem for the NFL.
Yeah, I'm curious how that gets implemented. But I also think the actual chain gang is kind of an antiquated technology.
No, so it is. They're still there, though, as backup.
Mm-hmm. The game moves too fast for the refs on the field, like, if we're being honest. Like, the athletes are too good. So it's a weird compliment to the league. But, yeah, they need to do something. I just don't like the Bills whined and cried and got their way. But something needs to be done to improve that system.
Well, the Bills always get their way, right? I mean, Mahomes did lose to Brady in the AFC title game because he won the coin toss and he goes down and scores the touchdown. They didn't get the ball back. But, what happens to Josh Allen? Oh, let's change the rule, which they did. But nobody brings that up, the fact they changed the rule when Josh Allen got to get the ball back, even though the Chiefs won the game. They changed the rule because of the Bills, not the Chiefs. I don't know. I haven't asked you this. Do you like the tush push?
I do not want the tush push banned.
Thank you. I don't either.
It's a boring play, but you know what? It's effective. And just because it's effective doesn't mean we should be banning it. There is no data to suggest it's a dangerous play, despite the fact people are claiming it's a dangerous play. There is nothing saying that. I think it is a boring play. Like, don't get me wrong. It is boring. But it's successful, and we shouldn't be legislating against plays just because they're successful. So it's got to stay. Someone's got to figure out a way to stop it without just, you know, begging for rule changes.
I was on with Alex last week, and I was talking about the tush push back when the NFL, they're still going to decide. They had their meetings. They'll have them again later this spring. But did you ever notice the Chiefs actually used the tush push quite a bit? No, it wasn't on 3rd and 1 or 4th and 1, but it was down the field. Like, you all the time saw Trey Smith or Creed Humphrey or whatever push the running back extra, including over the goal line. Did you notice that? Like, the Chiefs do utilize it. And if they do outlaw the tush push, what's going to be the language? Is this going to predate the NFL like 2004 when it actually became legal where you could push? You can't pull the player, but you can push the player. Because normally you had to be pushing the blocker that was going after the player. But if you outlaw it on 3rd and 1 and 4th and 1, don't you have to outlaw it altogether? You're not going to allow it 5 yards down the field, are you? You're not going to allow guys to do it over the goal line. The Chiefs have been very quiet about this, but they do it. I mean, it is a football play and a part of football. I just don't want to see the whole thing banned because the language in it would be you can't push said players. I don't want to see that. Don't want to see it at all. Well, starting tomorrow, Rob, is a major event. I'm not going to say it's draft-type quality, but the Masters. We'll talk some Masters. Absolutely love the Masters. They have a Masters party this weekend. Love the Masters. That'll be getting going tomorrow, and it's a fun event. We'll talk about that next.
MLB.TV is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! Woo! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
everything baseball, all season long on MLB.tv. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
In 2009, 3 days before Halloween, a grisly crime stunned the seaport town of Anacortes, Washington.
I can only describe it as evil.
From 48 Hours, this is Train to Kill, the dog trainer, the heiress, and the bodyguard.
He couldn't control his obsession.
Who was the hunter and who was the hunted? Follow and listen to Train to Kill on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.